Texas Instruments out with numbers. The numbers were, the bottom line was better than expected. Revenues maybe a little bit light. But a nice turn of events, because 3 months ago, Rafael Lazzardi, the CFO at Texas Instruments, said, well, you know, things are softening a little bit out there. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks, David.
Thank you. You know, I promise this time, I promise I'm going to listen to you closer this time, because you were like a canary in a coal mine 3 months ago. Everybody was thinking, you know, everything's booming and the economy's doing great. And you were beginning to see a little bit of weakness. And sometimes you guys see it first. And sure enough, that's exactly what materialized during the fourth quarter for everybody else.
Yeah, so we saw some weakness starting last quarter, 90 days ago, when we came out with our guidance. We saw some deceleration, and that continued. That happened in fourth quarter, and then our guidance for first quarter shows additional deceleration. We think that is primarily due to the semiconductor cycle, and if you want, I can explain your listeners about that later. But then, in addition to that, we have some macro environment issues, trade tensions. And we hear about this in the news, and that is, we're getting input from our customers and our distributors that is increasing their caution. And whenever you have macro weakening, that could impact the depth and duration of any downturn. But the key thing is that we're focused on the long term, and we're gonna make TI stronger, and we're gonna remain diligent in the short term to pull the right knobs to set the company right going forward.
You know, we all seem to be focused on the properly on the trade tariff talks with China, and you know, we were discouraged Thursday when Wilbur Mills came out and said, you know, we got miles and miles to go before it's over with. But the fact is, at some point it's got to be over with. But you're still going to be left with extreme weakness in China, certainly a major market, and Mario Draghi in the European Union keep dragging down their growth estimates. This is going to be around for a while, isn't it?
So it's certainly not helping what's going on with the trade tensions and also in Europe, multiple things that are going on. Brexit is the one that gets a lot of attention. So, you know, it is my opinion, our opinion, that it'd be better for the world economy, for the world leaders to work on some of these things and get them behind us and get going with just improving people's lives, right? Rather than focusing on fighting over trade.
You have customers that are really doing some very exciting things. I mean, unlike years before when you were all, you know, concerned about cellular telephones and who's going to buy them. I mean, you're involved in all the cars and all the new technology, the cars is only going to continue, I would guess, to improve. And it seems like it's broadening out to other sectors. And you've got 5G right around the corner, so there's going to be a lot of demand for new product. That ought to help TI out, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So our focus is on industrial and automotive end markets. Those two account for 56% of our revenue. That's up from about 42% 6 years ago. So that's where we've been focusing our R&D, and it's driving results. That's why our revenue is increasing in those areas. And automotive is the one that most people can very easily understand, because we all, you know, drive cars or take Ubers. But those cars they're just getting more and more efficient, safer. You have some autonomy, various levels of autonomy. You have the electric component, that some of those cars are electric, and all those things that I just mentioned just adds electronics to the cars, and then it adds semiconductors, of course, which is where we focus on. But as exciting as an automotive is, industrial is even more exciting. It's actually a bigger end market, and we think there's more opportunities for semiconductor content growth over decades to come.
But give me an example of what you're talking about in that market.
Yeah, so there are a ton of end equipment there that I could mention. Maybe the simplest one to think about is a thermostat, because we all have those in our homes. And if you look, I bet most of the listeners here have the old-fashioned thermostats that have essentially zero semiconductors. They just have a piece of wire that based on the temperature, it kind of bends one way or another, and that's how the thermostat determines what the temperature is. But that is very crude, not to say the least. And And those type of thermostats, you cannot control them. You cannot see them on your phone. You cannot adjust them because they don't have connectivity. Well, the new thermostats, and there's many out there in the marketplace, they do all kinds of things. You know, first, they're a lot more sensitive, so they give you a better output. They run on batteries, so now you have a whole electronic system to manage the battery. They measure not only temperature, but they measure CO2, they measure humidity, just all kinds of things. And then they have connectivity, so you can connect it to your phone, and you can adjust it remotely and program it and do all kinds of things. That is all because of semiconductors. Well, in something like that, you go from $0 of content to, I think some of those have over $10, $15 of content. So when you go like that, you're growing. Even if the number of houses in the world don't change, we're still going to see semiconductor growth happening as people upgrade their houses and upgrade their thermostats.
You know, this is the year that we're finally hearing from AT&T and Verizon and everybody else touting 5G. And we have sort of a vague sense of what this means, but we hear from the automotive industry and cities and everybody else who says, we're going to be beneficiaries of 5G because everything's going to be connected. And I would think that you must see products that are being developed that would be used with that high speed connectivity that's going to be available.
Yeah, so there are multiple angles on 5G, and we also get excited about that. That is one of the five end markets where we invest. And one angle of 5G is that the actual antennas are going to have a lot more analog content. And not to get into too many details there, but it used to be that you needed a lot of digital content on that, and the digital content was growing. Now, the way the architecture of those systems will require the digital, but where the growth is happening is analog, and you need just a ton of analog products in each of those base stations in order to support 5G going forward. Now, the other side of that is, well, now once you have 5G, now you can have all kinds of products connecting real time. So instead of relying on Wi-Fi at home, you can actually just connect directly to the cell network through 5G. And that goes for cars, but it goes for all kinds of other things that can now connect. And, you know, the possibilities are endless as to what end equipments will come out, will be enabled with 5G. And that's where our products will go into all of those because all of those products need analog, and most of those products need embedded processing.
And it looks like we're going to have a lot of gee-whiz products to be talking about for the next 2 or 3 years with that.
We're going to have good material for these calls. Yeah?
Rafael Lazzardi is Chief Financial Officer of Texas Instruments and one of the better canaries in a coal mine we've ever seen. It's always good to speak with you, sir.
Good to talk to you, David. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.